in verse 8. And we're going to read all the way to, through verse 22. We're going to break it down into three different sections of Scripture. And then we're going to end with an awesome comparison that Peter makes with baptism and the days of Noah. And I'm looking forward to getting there. So we need to get there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Peter goes on to write, "Finally, all of you," if you were to just say all of you, just say all of you. All of you. He's now talking to all of you, all of us, all of me and you, and to the church. He says, "Have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil." Let me read that again. This also means do not reply hatefully for hateful message, right? This means do not comment hateful evil for hateful evil. So do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous, Christ, for the unrighteous, us, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels and authorities and powers having been subjected to him. So we could go all the way back to verse 8. Peter says, finally, all of you. And he tells us these are the things that we should have. They are what? Unity of mind. That you and I are to have sympathy. That you and I, all of us, all of you are to have brotherly love. That we are to have a tender heart. And we are to have a humble mind. Humble mind. This is what you and I should possess as the body of believers here at Pleasant Hill. We should have all of these things present in our daily walk. It should be present in my life. It should be present in my wife's walk, in her daily life. And it should be present in all of us corporately, that we love one another. This is one of the reasons why I love our church so much. See, for those of you that don't know, we've renovated this sanctuary two times since we've been here over the last 6.5 years. We've gone through two renovations. We've had church in a metal building, or we had Easter in a metal building. We've done a whole lot of different things since we've been here, and a whole lot of things that are new to us, maybe new to this church. But for all the things that we've been able to do, there have been a great number of support, even though we may differ in opinion. For instance, if it were up to me and me alone, we would have had chairs similar to the ones that you sit in up front throughout this entire sanctuary. But I didn't get my way. Right? And praise God for that. But what I'm saying is, we may have differences in opinion. I prefer one style of music and you might prefer something completely different. I prefer one style of dressing where you might prefer something completely different. But the beautiful thing about our church is, through all that we have experienced since I've been here, and I'm only speaking on behalf of the last 6.5 years, we have seen a lot of people humble themselves and know that everything we do is not for my preference to be met or my opinion to be glorified. It is all for the kingdom of God to be advanced here on earth. It is all for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached and to be shared through our actions, through our teaching, through our deeds. So we have seen a lot of people. This is why Peter says, have a humble mind and a tender heart. We have had to soften our hearts at times to allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to be preached from us, through us, and seen throughout us. And that's what we should continue to strive to do. So Michaela and I are eternally grateful for this place because we have seen a lot of things happen that a lot of churches would have divided over. But we have seen people humble themselves and know that everything we do here is not for me to be exalted. It's not for you to be able to brag that you got your way. It is all for us to humble ourselves in such a way that we serve the King, God Almighty, and we make His name known among the earth. That is what we're here to do. So Peter says that we should have these things. Now, I would say, if we were to be honest, if you were to ask yourself, do you have unity of mind with all believers in this place? No, but we do have much in common, especially when it comes to our service here. Do you have sympathy for people? Do you have brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind? There's probably elements to these mentions that you and I may struggle with or we need to work on. Or then he says, do not repay evil for evil. Isn't that hard? I mean, isn't it hard when you're hurt or when you're offended or when you're frustrated to not just give it back to him just as you received it? I mean, it's hard. It is hard to humble yourself to the point that you are not going to repay evil for evil, or to get your thumbs to moving so quickly that your mind begins to become irrelevant because of the speed in which your thumbs begin to move. Haven't you been there? You've probably typed something out and you had to hit that little back arrow and hold your thumb on that thing because it erased the entire message. And then you typed it out again. And then your mind finally kicks in and you hold that back arrow and it erases your message. Or you have the perfect response on Facebook. Or you know exactly what you're going to say to them the next time you see them, right? We've all been there. We've all been hurt. We've all been offended. We've all been frustrated. But we must all grow to a spiritual maturity level in which we do not see the level of offense as the level of return. That we can humble ourselves and know that sometimes people don't actually mean how they say it or what happens. It just happens to come across that way. So we must be careful not to repay evil for evil. In fact, he says that we are to bless people, even while offended, even while persecuted, even while boiling mad, even while hurting. You and I are to bless people. Why? Because this is what we were called to, that we may obtain a blessing. He goes on to write in verse 10, 11, and 12 as he quotes Psalm 34. A few things that I want to point out for those of us who want to, I don't know, just raise your hand if you want to love the life that you live. Just raise your hand. I want to love the life that I live. Does that mean that every day is going to feel good and look good? No. We're going to experience loss. We're going to experience tragedy. But we can still experience the blessing of God. He goes on to say, whoever desires to love life and see good days, here's what you do. Let him keep his tongue from evil. James talks a lot about our tongue, right? The Bible speaks clearly about our tongues and our mouths and how there is life and death in our tongues and how you and I can use our tongues to destroy people or we can use our tongues to build people up. But if we are not careful, how we use our mouths and our tongues can actually prevent us from seeing the good days. He goes on to say, and keep his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. If you want to experience a good life, not that a good life is defined by your money or by your bank account or by your status in work. A good life is experienced and defined by the blessing of God in your life. And that blessing is seen in numerous ways. I've seen poor people extremely blessed by God. I've seen rich people extremely deprived of God's blessing. So it's never defined financially. It's never defined by possession. I've seen a lot of people with a lot of stuff have nothing in the goodness of the Lord. I've seen a lot of people with nothing to their name be rich in God's mercy and grace. So I don't know about you, but I want to experience the blessing of God. I want to experience the blessing in my marriage, the blessing of God. I want to experience the blessing in raising my four kids. I want to experience the blessing of seeing them come to faith in Christ. I want to see all of this in my life. And it doesn't matter how much money or how many possessions or how much status I have. So we are to turn away from evil We are to repent of our sin. We cannot continue to live in sin and expect God to bless us. And we are to do good. We are to seek peace and pursue it. Peace seekers are not prideful people. Prideful people will never seek peace. Prideful people will seek things for their own gain. Prideful people will seek things that will divide others. So we must, this is where coming into that humble mind is so important. If you want to experience the blessing of the Lord, you must first humble yourself. See, the blessing of God on a daily basis, or obedience, is the pathway to experiencing God's blessing on a daily basis. Obedience is the pathway to experience His blessing. So how do I obey God? Well, we humble ourselves, we obey His word, we follow His teachings, and we seek His character. And on the contrary, as Peter said, do not repay evil for evil, but on the contrary, bless people. On the contrary, disobedience will lead to God's discipline. So if you want to experience God's blessing in your life, obey Him. I don't care what culture tells you. I don't care what TikTok tells you. I don't care what Instagram tells you. If you want to experience the blessing of God, I don't care what the preacher on TV tells you. If you want to experience the blessing of God, obey Him. And if you don't obey Him, then here's what happens. Your disobedience will lead to God's discipline in you. You may not feel it yet, but guess what? One of these days is coming. One of these days is coming for people who reject God and disobey Him. They will experience the discipline of Him forever, which is where we'll get to in just a minute when we talk about Noah. And then in the next passage of Scripture, 13 through 17, he talks about how we may suffer for doing what is good, how you may be persecuted for your faith. He's actually writing to people and he says, now if you are suffering for righteousness, well, they already are suffering. But he's trying to encourage them to know that they will be blessed in it. Jesus said that those who will be persecuted for His name's sake will be blessed. And you may not feel it right now. It may not look good right now, but if you obey the Lord and if you choose to follow Christ and you face persecution, or if you face mockery, if you face humiliation, guess what? Count yourself as blessed. Consider yourself blessed. Even Christ suffered, the one who was righteous, He suffered for all of us who are unrighteous, so that you and I could be blessed. So in this middle section, I'm going to work through it quickly because I want to get to the end here. If you are a believer in Jesus and people persecute you, or if you suffer for His name, you can consider yourself blessed. There are people who are going to be demoted or even fired one of these days for their faith. There is going to be a time and day in this nation where people are going to be kicked out of their career paths because of their faith. We may not see it yet, but it's coming. We know it's coming. It's happening all over the world. People are going to be martyred for their faith. It may not happen in our lifetime here, but guess what? There's going to be a day where it does come. There are people all over the world being persecuted and suffering greatly for their faith. And it's hard for us to truly understand because our definition of persecution from our faith is people made a mockery type Facebook post and labeled all Christians as, you know, bigots or idiots or whatever. That's kind of the persecution we suffer. So we don't quite understand what Peter is saying, but here's what I want you to know. From this point forward, if you suffer or if you are persecuted for the name of Jesus, you are to be blessed. And then secondly, in this particular section of Scripture, Peter says this, that you are always to be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. You and I should possess hope in all days. You and I, through all seasons of life, through all days that we face, should possess a hope that allows us to breathe, get up off the couch, and move forward. There are going to be days that you and I experience that are paralyzing. There are going to be seasons of life that we cannot quite comprehend, understand, or begin to think how we're going to get through it. But even in those days, we possess a hope that is eternal. That hope is in Christ. And you and I ought to be prepared at all times to make a defense for it. What does that mean? It means to be prepared to share your testimony. And guess what? We do that every fifth Sunday of the month. Well, you might say, well, there's not always fifth Sunday. Exactly. Every month that there is a fifth Sunday, we invite you to get up here and to share your testimony and to express to others your defense for the hope that you possess. Because the world needs to know it. There's going to be people in your life that look at you and wonder how in the world you continue on after all you've been through. And you're going to be able to have an avenue to preach the gospel to them in which they may be drawn by the word and the spirit of the Lord. So be prepared. And lastly, I want to get to verses 18 through 22. And this is where I really wanted to get to. Peter goes on to write, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of whom? Noah." Remember that old song, "Noah Built the Ark"? Does anyone remember that old song? I don't know the song. I didn't grow up in children's church. But I remember all my girls' little, you know, Christian music videos that they have in the house, that Noah built the ark, right? And the rain. No, that's the wise man and the foolish man. The wise came down. Anyway, Noah built an ark and it rained a long time, all right? He built an ark and it took weeks, months for him to construct this ark. And the entire time he was doing so, he was warning people about the judgment to come. Could you imagine those people who laughed at Noah? It's not raining yet, but he's building a boat. It's dry, but he's building a boat, getting prepared for this day in which it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights straight, and it's going to flood the earth, and then they're going to be on this boat for months on end, and it takes a long time to construct this ark. But he goes on to say, they did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah. Do you know that every day that Noah spoke to someone about this coming flood, they had every chance to obey and to respond positively to him and to say, you know what? I believe that it's coming. If God told you to build this big old boat for all these animals, and the rain's coming, I'm going to listen and I'm going to believe. But it says while the ark was being prepared, and in fact, whenever it was done and when the rain started to come, there was only a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. All the people Noah spoke to rejected it, didn't believe it. And it was him and his wife, his sons and daughters-in-law, all got in the boat and they were carried by God through the water in this boat. Peter goes on to say, "Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." If I could plead with you today, it would be to not do what the people of Noah's day did. You're going to hear me get up here Sunday after Sunday and preach to you and plead with you to repent of your sin. But guess what? One of these days, there's not going to be another Sunday for you in here. One of these days, my days preaching are going to be over. One of these days, you and I we're all going to breathe our last breath here on this earth. We do not know when that time will come. So if I could plead with you to take one thing from today's message, it is to not wait like the people in Noah's day did. Because I could just picture it. Noah's telling these people, hey, it's going to rain for a long time. They haven't seen rain in weeks or months. And he's building this huge ark. And God's going to save him. He's going to bring them through the waters in this boat. And Noah for weeks and months is telling these people. And they rejected it. They rejected it. They rejected it. But could you imagine when the waters became fill up the earth, and when the waters were pouring down and the floods were coming down the mountains, couldn't you hear the cries of people calling out for Noah or wishing they would have answered him before, wishing they would have responded to him before? Because here is the promise. All of us are going to breathe our last breath here on earth. There is a guarantee of that. But if we reject the gospel of Jesus Christ here and now, we are going to get sentenced to eternal separation in a place we know as hell, to where we are going to be just like those people in Noah's day, just wishing we had one more chance to call out to God. wishing we had one more day to just respond to that old preacher or to that old worship leader, whoever it was that was preaching the gospel, wishing we could go back in one more day and just ask God to forgive us of our sins. So Peter says that baptism now saves you like it did, like the water did with Noah. So what does that mean? Well, that means here in just a moment, Scott's going to stand right up here and baptize someone. If someone were to walk off the street and witness it and just come forward and get in the water, does that one act save him without knowing what they're doing? No. But here's the beautiful thing. Peter goes on to say, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. He goes on to say, it is an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus. So what this means is that you and I have an opportunity to be carried through the water similarly to Noah and his family did. So that if I truly believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin and I am in need of saving grace through him, I can now be baptized and immersed in the Lord and be forgiven, set free, and born again. That's what it means. That I can be carried through the water just as Noah was. I can come up here or I can go to a lake and I can, out of good conscience, surrender my heart and my life to Christ, and I can now be carried through the water. Because here's the thing. All of those people that drowned during the flood were experiencing the wrath of God. All of the people who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ and live their own lives doing their own things are going to be rightful recipients of God's wrath forever and ever. So the question I want to pose to you today is this. Have you been carried through the water? What does that mean? Have you rejected time after time after time the calling and the drawing of the Spirit and the Word of God? And if you continue to just neglect that calling or that prompting of the Spirit, have you just continued to live however you want to live? And I warn you, and I plead with you, that moral choices and right decision making and living a good life is not enough. I want to plead with you and encourage you to know that it is coming to the point of being saved from your sin that we all must come to, in order to be carried through the water like Noah was. So as we conclude today, I just want to ask you, have you been carried through the water? Or are you, if you were to die today, would you be like the people in Noah's day, wishing you could go back one day, just one time, and to ask God to forgive you of your sin? So as we close, every time I get to baptize someone, it's a beautiful day. Awesome chance, right? I mean, we love it. Every time this thing is steaming, we love it. But one thing I always do with people before I baptize them is to ensure that they understand the gospel. I want to hear their story and see where they are. And I always tell people, it's one thing to be immersed in water, but if you do it just because someone does it and you're not covered by the blood, then you may be doing it in vain. You don't know what God has done for you. So what I want to do today is I want to ask you personally, have you been washed by the blood of the Lamb? When you are washed by the blood of the Lamb, which means that you come to recognize you are a sinner in need of saving grace, and the only saving grace you and I can receive is through the blood of Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago. It is in that moment in time in which you are immersed into the Lord and you are born again and you are carried through the water. So today, as we close with prayer and one more song together, I want to invite you, if you are here today and you have never truly asked God to forgive you of your sin and to save you from the eternal punishment and the wrath that you are rightful recipients of, I want to plead with you before there is no more time to do so. If you're here today and you've never asked God to forgive you of your sin and you've never truly surrendered your heart to him and you have no idea what it means to be baptized in his name, I want to plead with you to come forward today and so I can or church leaders can pray with you. Because here's the thing, just like those people in Noah's day, they just continued on their daily lives and then one of those days it began to rain and it never stopped. and they would perish. The grave danger is for you to just continue to live and think, well, whenever I get older, I'll do it. You may not see older. Whenever I get to that point in life, or whenever I have that much money, or whenever I get that job, I'll have more time, I'll slow down, and I'll surrender to the Lord. You may not see it. But one thing you will see is Jesus Christ face to face. And he will either welcome you home as his servant, or he will condemn you to eternal separation in a place we know as hell, for you did not know him. Let us pray.